Welcome back to the Autism Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Gorski, and today I'm gonna continue the trend of, you know, sharing about my life and some of the personal struggles that I'm dealing with sort of in real time. I'd been sort of avoiding doing that because I write about it all the time. But, you know, the last one that I published a week ago, at the time of this recording, it was about a week ago, it was really well received, and it's in, you know, it's growing in popularity faster than anything else that I've done. So I think it's helpful to people, but it's also therapeutic for me. Like I said, I've been putting it off, but after I recorded it, I felt better. I felt almost like I had just left the therapist office in a way. Like it was just sort of taking a load off, and I need more of that, frankly. So I'm gonna kind of continue that trend. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. So just sit tight for a minute, and I'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsor.
The Autism Dad is brought to you by Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free, which is awesome. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, which means no fancy equipment, and that's super convenient. Anchor will also distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, all the popular apps out there. And you can even begin making money from your podcast right away, because there's no minimum listenership required to start monetizing. So that's cool as well. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That's anchor.fm to get started.
All right, guys, welcome back. One of the things that I wanted to talk about this time around is something that we are currently struggling with, and it has to do with Gavin again. A lot of our struggles are in relation to Gavin, not because he's a bad kid or he's a problem, because he really isn't, and he is a really good kid. But the challenges that he faces on a daily basis are just consuming for us as parents. And you know, one of the things that we have run into recently is, you know, there seems to be a continuing decline in his, abilities to do sort of basic life functions. And it's reached a point where we've had to sort of take some responsibilities away, because they just, I think, became too much. And it's unfair to expect him to do these things if he's not capable of doing them. And so I wanted to share a little bit about that, because it's sort of bittersweet for us as parents. So one of the things that we had to deal with, well, first of all, Gavin has chores around the house. And the reason that we do that is because he needs constant repetition in order to retain skills or knowledge. He has to constantly do it and redo it and do it again in order to retain that ability. And so, you know, we tried to find things around the house that would give him that would try to check some of those boxes. And he likes to clean. I mean, he likes cleaning, and so it's not like they're chores. They're we're trying to use the stuff that he enjoys doing and utilize it in a way that you know, it helps out around the house, it takes some stuff off of our plates, but it also helps him to maintain skill sets that he currently has. One of the things that he was doing was the dishes. He would do the dishes. He enjoyed doing the dishes. He had been asking us forever to do them, and we'd not gone down that road. But he's been working on them for the last couple of years, and you know, he used to do a pretty good job. You know, we didn't have to like follow behind him and redo things. But as time has gone on, his ability to do the dishes correctly has declined to the point where a significant portion of what he leaves as his finished product has to be redone. And you know, we could follow behind him and just redo it and not say anything to him, but then it sort of defeats the purpose of what we're trying to do. And you know, so we point things out to him, like, Gavin, you know, you've got to slow down a little bit. You know, you missed some spots on this plate. It's still dirty. You know, just did a great job on the other things, but just maybe slow down a little bit and double check. You know, it's not a rush. Things like that. But the problem is that he does not handle making mistakes well. He never has. If he makes a mistake, he hits himself. He slams, you know, he stomps on the floor. He will hit the wall. He will bang his head. And he's always been that way. You know, he's gotten a lot better at it over the years. But we're starting to see a return to that way that he deals with frustration. Gavin is a perfectionist. And, you know, when we have to correct him or point out a mistake, we have to be very careful how we do it because he just doesn't do well with that. He doesn't tolerate mistakes in general. He's more tolerant of other people making mistakes, but if he makes a mistake, it's unforgivable. I mean, it's just he tells us that he's an idiot, that he's stupid, that he's dumb, that he can't believe he was that stupid and he missed it. It was so obvious. And we're like, Gavin, man, like, that is not at all what we're saying. Everybody makes mistakes. I make mistakes. I tell him all the time. I'm like, Gavin, if you look up mistakes in the dictionary, you're probably going to see my picture because I make more than anybody, I think. I make mistakes all the time. And what's important is that I learn from them or try to learn from them and try to do better the next time. That's how we learn, right? It's part of life. You make mistakes, you learn from them, and you move forward. Gavin doesn't do that. And so having to correct him all the time as a dish, you know, the issues with him doing the dishes has gotten worse. You know, we're hesitant to say anything to him because we know how he's going to react. But then if we just go behind and just clean up what he leaves, then he, you know, we feel like that's not the right approach either. And so we over time we've decided that we're just going to pull that responsibility away from him because it's just, I mean, there's health issues with dirty dishes and stuff like that. So I mean, that's a problem. But it's not a good fit for him anymore. He's no longer retaining. It's not beneficial to him. It's become more of something that's frustrating and counterproductive. And so, you know, originally the idea was that, you know, he would have to sort of plan things out. I mean, we're talking very basic level because his capacity is pretty limited. And so we were looking at sort of organizational type things and sort of basic planning out of what he's going to do because, you know, when you have multiple different types of dishes to wash and we don't have a dishwasher, so, you know, we put them in a strainer to dry. Now he has to sort of plan that out to make sure that there's room in the strainer to get as many in there at one time as he can. So, you know, we were trying to look at it as things like that sort of had him doing sort of everyday life activities that just helped him to maintain a basic skill set. And so that was the whole point. But we've reached a time where it's just not working anymore and we've had to pull that away from him and he wasn't very happy about that. But you know, I mean, I don't know what else we're going to do. I mean, it's just best to do it that way. And so Liz and I have taken over the dishes and as, you know, time goes forward, we're going to work the younger kids into doing them and try and kind of get them moving on more responsibility as they get older. You know, but it's not the fact that we have to take on the responsibility for the dishes because I don't care about that. In fact, I sort of like doing the dishes, as weird as it sounds, because there's so many things in my life that I can't fix, that I can't make better. I, you know, when I see a stack of dishes, I can wash them and put them away and I've made progress. You know, there's progress that you can see. It's tangible. And I feel better in some weird way after that. And so I don't have an issue taking them on. The problem for us is what it means. You know, it means that Gavin is declining. And that sucks. That sucks so bad. You know, we know what his prognosis is, and his prognosis is not, it's not good. It isn't. I've mentioned before, and if you follow our story, you know that he has childhood disintegrative disorder, and that's a very rare form of autism. And he sort of presents atypically with that. You know, most kids will decline until they hit a plateau, and then they just sort of stop declining, and they just sort of stay there. Gavin has continued to decline over the years, and you know, we have to work very hard to help him retain the things that he still has. And so things like doing the dishes and the repetition and the practice and the constant, you know, going back and having to fix it. I mean, those were all things that were sort of positive for him because he needed that kind of structure. He needed that repetition. And so we tried to find basic life skills, and we just focused on that because that was sort of the limit of what his capacity was. And we wanted him to maintain whatever level of independence that he can, you know, but the prognosis for a child with childhood disintegrative disorder is not, it's not good. It's not. And, it's so rare that there isn't a whole lot known about it. It took 10 years for Gavin to be diagnosed, but, you know, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to watch someone that you love so much decline in a way that he declines. And there's nothing that we can do to stop it. There's nothing we can do to fix it or reverse it. You know, all we can try and do is slow it down as much as we can. And that's what we try to do. But we reach a point where we always call it, if you've read the blog over the years, I'll write a post every once in a while about sort of a new baseline. We've reached a new baseline with Gavin. And what I mean by that is we've reached a new, I guess, quote unquote, normal for him. Meaning that, you know, it used to be that he would decline a little bit and then he would gain it back, and then he would decline a little bit and he'd gain it back. Or he'd lose a skill and then he'd remaster it. Then it becomes he loses a skill and he can sort of get it back, but then he struggles. And then he loses a skill and he gets even less of it back. And then he loses a skill and then he doesn't get it back. And over time, you know, we sort of reach this new level where he just, it's just sort of the new baseline. You know, it's sort of the new normal for where he's at, and I think we've just reached another one of those with this. You know, I mean, we can try and fight to get him to get the dishes done correctly, or to be able to think through the process, but he just can't, you know. And putting him through that just stresses him out, and that's not productive, and it's not right, you know. But letting go of that, it's like admitting defeat. Man, it's so hard because we know what it means, and no one ever wants to give up on their child. You don't, you know. You want to think that, well, if we just push a little harder, if we just push a little longer, it'll be okay. Or they'll find a way to get through it. But it just isn't the case all the time. And you know, we've hit a point with Gavin we're back in that area, and it's awful. It feels awful. It feels like we're giving up. It feels like there's no hope, you know? And it's, man, it weighs so heavy. One of the other examples that I think I just wrote about this the other day, and I had the kids at therapy last night, and I was talking to their therapist about this. The other day, Gavin repeats the same thing over and over again, regardless of whether he should or not. you know, he makes his lunch. He has to ask me if he can have something, which he doesn't need to do, but he does it anyways. And, you know, he came into the living room and he asked if he could have a chicken patty for lunch. And I said, yes, Gavin, you can have a chicken patty for lunch. I mean, you know that. You don't need me to tell you that, man. I mean, like, I always tell him, like, Gavin, you don't have to ask us about that. You know, just make yourself something to eat, man. Like we don't have to make a production of this every day. And so he's like, oh, I forgot. And, you know, he goes and he goes to make it, and he comes back in and he wants to know how long he should put it in the air fryer for. And I'm like, Gavin, how long do you normally put it? This is something that we go through like every day. So this isn't like it's not like it only happens every once in a while. I mean, so you put it in for as long as you put it in yesterday, right? I mean, it doesn't change. It's the same thing. You're cooking the same thing in the same, either, you know, the microwave, or he's using the air fryer. And it's the same process every day, but he doesn't remember it, or he doesn't trust his memory, and so he double checks. And he wanted to put it in there for like 14 minutes, which is way, way, way too long. I asked him, I'm like, Gavin, why don't you just put it in a microwave? And he said, but Dad, he's like, the microwave doesn't cook chicken patties right. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, the one time I put it in a microwave, I put it in there for a minute, and when I pulled it out, it was still cold in the middle. And he said, I don't like the way it tastes when it's cold. And I said, Gavin, like I'm sitting there and I almost feel like he's messing with me, because like, really, like Gavin, why don't you just put it back in the microwave for another 30 seconds? Like, just add more time to it. If a minute wasn't enough, make it a minute and a half. And if that's not enough, make it 2 minutes. I mean, like, that's common sense, I would think, right? I mean, that you just do that. But there is no common sense for Gavin, and he has not used the microwave for chicken patties because he doesn't think that microwaves can cook chicken patties because of one bad experience. And so he's been using the air fryer forever now, and I thought it was just because he liked it tastes, when you cook in the air fryer, it tastes different than if you put it in a microwave. It's crispy and whatever, and so I thought he just preferred it that way. Well, it turns out he was doing it out of what he thought was necessity. And I'm trying to explain to him, I'm like, Gavin, like, when you cook chicken nuggets or when you cook oatmeal or something in the microwave, what do you do if you put it in there and when it's done, it's still cold? He's like, well, I just add time to it. I'm like, well, then why would you not do the same thing to chicken patties? Like, what makes them different? Like, why doesn't the same rule apply to that? And I guess it sort of clicked with him when I said that. And he got really upset at himself, and he started hitting his head. He started punching himself in the stomach, in the thighs. He hits his leg. He makes fists and he just like pounds his legs. And then he stomps and he screams and yells at himself. And I'm like, Gavin, man, like, I'm not trying, like, this isn't about, nobody's criticizing you. Like, we're trying to help you work through the process. If we just give you the answers, you're not going to learn anything. You know, so we want you to think about these things and try and figure out the answers on your own. And if you can't, we're here to help you. You know, I mean, that's our whole approach to everything with him is like, we need you to figure this out on your own. But if you can't, we're here to help you. We're here to help you think through it. We're here to help you figure it out. Because it's important that we do that. You know, he's the kind of kid that needs that constant practice. But you know, the whole point is that it's not the dishes, they're just a thing, and the chicken patty is just a thing. But it's the meaning behind his inability to do the dishes anymore, or his inability to understand or even problem solve basic things like, well, if it's still cold, you put it in the microwave for a little bit longer. I mean, he doesn't see those things anymore, and it just he's just declining. And I don't know if there's a basement floor. You know, every time we get somewhere like this, it always feels like we've hit rock bottom. You know, like it can't get any worse. But it always does. It always seems to get worse. We always seem to find new challenges or new whatevers that make things harder, that break our hearts, that make us very much worried about his future, what do certain things mean, what are we going to do, you know, moving forward? How do we help him? At what point do we just accept that this is going to be the way that it is and there's nothing that we can do? It's hard to do that, and it just is. It's hard, and it's something that I've been really struggling with the last few days. You know, you want the best for your kids, and to watch them slowly decline and be powerless to do anything about it, it's awful. And, you know, one of the ways, it's hard for people to relate to this, and one of the ways that people have been able to relate to us is if they're dealing with a loved one who has Alzheimer's. You know, they lose abilities, they lose memories, they lose skills, you know, and they change to the point where they're almost like a different person. And you have all the memories of them, and you remember living your life with them or being married to them for 50 years and being in love for 50 years or raising a family or whatever. And they don't. They don't even know who you are. And that it's just gut-wrenching. It's heartbreaking. And that's the closest thing that I can think to relate this to with Gavin specifically. You watch him decline. And I mean, the difference is he hasn't had a chance to live his life. He's only 19, you know, he's not had a chance to live his life. And I don't know how to accept that this is the way that it is. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to just resign myself to the fact that there's nothing we can do. But that's sort of what has been going on the last few days that have been very challenging for me on an emotional level. On a flip side of that, though, you know, we had to pull the dishes away from Gavin because he's not able to do them anymore. But that same day, I had sent him upstairs to shave because he doesn't remember to shave. He doesn't remember to do all kinds of personal hygiene things. So we have to work on that for him. But he shaved, you know, he shaved by himself. I mean, I had to send him up there to do it, but he shaved by himself. He did it all by himself. He didn't need any help. And it's an electric razor. So he's not using like a blade or anything like that. And he did it. I had to point out a couple of things to him once, but then he went back and he did it, and he didn't freak out that he missed a few spots, and he did really well. And that's the first time he's ever done that. And so that was a hugely positive thing. So, you know, as I'm drowning in heartbreak from watching him decline, I'm also sort of thrown a lifeline, I feel like, in the fact that, you know, he was able to do something new. You know, I mean, and I know it's a very simple, basic thing. I mean, guys learn to shave when they're young, and they shave their entire lives, and it's not a big deal. But for him, it is. And to have him do that on his own and not have to go back and forth 10 or 15 times, you know, that's awesome. You know, and we are so proud of him for that. And he was proud of himself. And that's such a good thing. It's such a good feeling as a parent to see your kid proud of themselves. I mean, you can't match that. So there is positive, you know. It's just the positives are fewer and fewer anymore, and they're outweighed by the overtly negative nature of the downside to the things that he's experiencing. And so it's sometimes hard to remember to focus on the positive things. You know, I think that the truth can be, I mean, that can be said about a lot of parents who are raising autistic kids, I mean, you can kind of drown yourself in the misery or the challenge or the heartbreak or the pain or the fear, you know, and lose sight of all of the amazing things that are happening at the same time. So I guess if I have a message for you guys today is focus on the things that focus on the wins, you know. Maybe you got to lower your expectations for what a victory is. If you got to do that, do it. I mean, we all need victories, and we all need things to celebrate, and celebrate the victories. It doesn't matter how big they are or how small they are, or if you're the only one who gets it, celebrate them. Celebrate them with your kids. Make them feel proud of themselves. You know, it's I don't know. It's a roller coaster. It is absolutely a roller coaster, and you know, it's one that we can't really get off of, and so we have to make the best of what we have. So just celebrate the victories, guys, and again, don't let others define for you what qualifies as a victory and what doesn't. You know your child, you know, celebrate all the positive. You know, it's so important to do that. It's good for your kid, it's good for you, it's good for the family, and it helps to keep from drowning in heartbreak, in stress, in misery, in strain, in frustration, and all of those feelings that we all feel as autism parents. You know, focus on the positive, guys.
The Autism Dad is brought to you by Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it is 100% free, and it is ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. So if you have always wanted to start your own podcast and you want to get paid to do it, go to anchor.fm/start. That's anchor.fm/start.
As I bring this episode to a close, I just want to say thank you again for taking the time to tune in and listen. I really do appreciate it. You can find me at theautismdad.com. There is a backlog of, it's like 12,000 posts that chronicle our journey as a special needs family over the last decade. There's a lot of insightful, meaningful posts in there that maybe can help you learn something, maybe something you can relate to or share with somebody to help them better understand. My social media links are at the top right corner of the page. If you're looking for me on social media, the best place to find me is always on Twitter. I'm always on Twitter. I don't really pay much attention to anything else, so I'm not ignoring you. If you've tried to reach out to me in other places, I just don't see it. So hit me up on Twitter, send me an email through my blog. Either way, you'll get a hold of me. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Also, please remember you can listen to this podcast on every major podcasting app that's out there. Hit the subscribe button. It helps. Every subscription, every like, every share, every listen, not only helps me provide for my family, but it helps me to continue my efforts in helping other people. So I really appreciate it, guys. I hope you have a great day, and I will talk to you next week.